There was Piercy, looking stuffy. There was Abelard and Berenice and... the back of a red head, a tall woman. The woman turned and looked her in the eye and smiled, a slow smile of absolute delight. Lorenza almost fainted, her fists clenched on the table before her. Cecilia. The bitch was not only recovered, but rejuvenated. And she remembered. She forgot the weapon she carried. She heard nothing the king was saying. In a scramble, she grabbed her raincoat and rushed the door, pushing past the row of pages. She shoved the tall door open and strode across the wide lobby, trying not to run. The guards, alert to stop intruders, did not move as she went out the glass doors of the building, down the rain-wet steps. She was on the street, drenched. Before she remembered, she was carrying a raincoat. She dragged it on over her wet dress and looked for the nearest transportation. Cecilia half rose when she saw Lorenza Bolt. Harris grabbed her wrist.
Not now. She won't escape.
Between Lavati and Bunny, Lorenza would find no transportation farther than the stations. If she bolted that far, they might find out who her allies were.
Right.
Esteemed members of the Crown Ministry, members of the Familiars in good standing, honored guests, I welcome you to this meeting of the Grand Council.
Bunny stood for recognition. He was very much Lord Thornbuckle in his formal suit.
If you'll wait a moment.
There is a question before the floor.
I know that, but I have a preemptive announcement.
May I request the floor when you have made it?
The king nodded. Bunny sat down stiffly.
Members of Familiars, I wish to announce my resignation. Abdication. I am not able to continue.
Why? We don't want that!
Yes, we do!
I cannot... I have reason to believe my last son is dead. In my grief, I am aware of failings that...
He laid the gavel down, shook his head, then put it down on his desk. Cecilia saw puzzlement, anger, and fear on the faces around her. Bunny stood again.
I was promised the floor to address the question, which all of you have been sent. The king has indeed preempted that question, which called for his resignation. I move we accept it without further inquiry.
How can we vote without a chair?
By putting your finger on the little button, the way you always do. Cecilia pushed the voting button on her screen. Others followed. The vote carried. She felt a sudden burst of compassion for the king. Had he meant any of the harm he had brought to pass? Probably not. She had not meant him any harm either, but she had been the means of destroying his reign. The king, no longer the king, but a man whose familiar name nearly all had forgotten, sat immobile, staring at the desk in front of him. Cecilia watched the Crown Minister's head swaying from side to side as they whispered among themselves, exactly like pigeons on a roost. Finally, Bunny went to the minister's tables and leaned over to speak to them. One of them rose and approached the ex-king. He looked up then, and in his expression, Cecilia saw a new resolution form. He stood.
I yield the floor to Lord Thornbuckle.
He held out the gavel, and Bunny, grave, unsmiling, took the few steps necessary. The gavel passed between them, and Chemtree stepped down to meet Bunny on the level below the throne.
I'm going back for Velosia, if she waits. Then home. I'm sorry, Bunny. I hope you have better luck. At least this gives you a chance.
Then he came up the steps towards Cecilia. She felt Mahari and Harris tense on either side of her.
It's all right.
She might as well have tried to calm a pair of eager hounds with the game in view. If he meant her any harm, he was a dead man.
I'm sorry, Cecilia. I cannot say how happy I am to see you recovered. It was not my plan, but I'm sure it was, in some way, my fault. You did me a good service, and I did you a bad one.
Cecilia thought of the suffering of the months, almost 2 years in local time, and gave him a stare that made him flush, then pale. I can forgive you for myself, but the boys... I was never a mother, Khemtri, but I could not have done to anyone's child what you did to your own. How could you? Before he could answer, her gaze swept the tables. I don't blame you as much as Lorenza. Below her, Piercy flinched. She's the one who poisoned me. I dare say she's poisoned others. She's the one I want. Lorenza's aunt Lucrezia gave Cecilia a glare that should have ignited asbestos at 100 paces.
Sir Kevil Mahoney, please come forward. The king has resigned. We need not fall into disorder for that, shareholders. We had a government before we had a king. We can have one now, with or without a king. Sir Mahoney has legal advice for us all. I ask your attention.
Khemtri looked past Cecilia to Harris. She shook her head, offering no details. All he really needed to know was in that negation. Khemtri seemed to sag on his bones and then turned away. Harris watched the former king climb slowly to the exit. No one greeted him. No one stretched out a hand to comfort him. She was not sure what she felt. She was only sure it was neither triumph nor pity. The meeting went on for hours, never quite erupting into complete disorder. Piercy resigned. 2 other crown ministers resigned. Cecilia's brother Abelard proposed a vote to restore the speaker's position. Cecilia had not imagined that he had that much initiative. The vote passed, which surprised her even more. She stayed, when she would rather have pursued Lorenza, caught up despite herself in the excitement, until at last the meeting adjourned for the day. She went home with Bunny, despite Berenice's plea. She wasn't ready to forgive Berenice yet. No one on the noon shuttle paid any attention to Lorenza. Their attention was on the news being shown on the forward view screen. The king's abdication, the surprise vote to abolish the monarchy and restore the speaker's position, was enough to hold even the most jaded. Lorenza ignored it. She was fingering the pearls hidden beneath her dress and wondering how far they would take her. Although the benignity owed her favors for her many useful acts, she had no illusions about them. They would do more for pearls or the other jewels than for old time's sake. She slipped into an uneasy doze, missing the interview with Lady Cecilia de Marctos, famous horsewoman and prominent member of her family, whose miraculous recovery from a coma provided the news program's obligatory good news spot. Rockhouse Major bubbled with rumors and excitement when she arrived. Lorenza put on her most demure expression and made her way to the office, whose location she had long ago memorized but had never visited. A lady of her standing did not visit the kind of therapist employed to counsel criminals. Now she needed to contact the Benignity's senior agent on the station. She did not like the tall, handsome, self-assured woman in the pale yellow silk suit. Liking didn't matter, of course, but she felt abraded by the woman's appraising eye, as if she could see through the rejuvenations to her real age, through her carefully groomed exterior to her inner self. She introduced herself with the code words she'd been given long ago.
Of course. We'll have to hide you until a suitable ship comes. Come with me, please. Do you have any luggage? I presume you don't want to use your credit cubes. Anything to contribute towards expenses?
Only this.
Lorenza started to open the jewel case, but the woman took it from her, then smiled.
You needn't worry. The Benignity is scrupulously honest.
Lorenza had no time to think about the confiscation of the jewel case. She was being hurried through back passages, past little cubicles with chairs and mirrors in them, like changing rooms at dress shops. The woman held open a door at the end of the row.
This one. No one will bother you here. I'll get you something less conspicuous to wear. You might want to take off that raincoat. You must have been seen in it.
Under the raincoat, her dress was still damp from the rain.
Oh, get that wet thing off before you catch a chill. I'll get you a warm robe.
She went out, the raincoat over her arm. Lorenzo looked at herself in the mirror, damp, haggard, her gold hair rumpled to one side by that nap on the shuttle. Terrible. She raked at her hair with her fingers. A draft brushed her damp shoulder. She looked up and realized that the walls in this little cubicle went all the way to the ceiling. There shouldn't be any draft, but there was, with a whiff of something acrid in it. She grabbed the door handle. It came off in her hand, leaving a slick metal panel. The mirror. As she looked, the upper half blurred, no longer reflective. An image formed. The therapist, with a handful of Lorenza's jewels.
You ruined it, Lorenza. The benignity is scrupulously honest, but it doesn't tolerate mistakes.
Please, I still have these.
She tore at her dress, pulling out the pearls. Their lustrous surface turned a dirty green. She could feel them crumbling.
Damn, you had pearls too. That gas ruins pearls.
Harris had had no trouble getting an appointment with Space Enhance. At the moment, anything Lady Cecilia wanted was hers to command.
I'm terribly afraid we may have damaged some of your, property.
The senior partner looked as if something were crawling over his skin.
Yes?
Some, pets, I suppose.
Pets?
Yes. Unfortunately, they've been somewhat of an embarrassment to us. During a crisis, a medical team member spotted, well, let's just say evidence of their presence. They recommended we contact environmental control to fumigate the ship.
You told them?
No, I decided they represented no present hazard. We could dispose of them appropriately.
So they had. Sirkin, Brunn, Mahari, and Oblo had ensured a most unpleasant surprise for a certain therapist they blamed for Irulan's death. With any luck at all, the discovery of illegal biologicals in her possession would lead to full investigation of all her activities.
Ah, thank you, Captain.
No need. It would have benefited neither of us for environmental control to come down on you.
Harris smiled. From his expression, her smile was not reassuring. She didn't mean it to be.
Benefited?
Come now. It's clear to me what you do with those, insects. That is, I presume, an industrial secret of some worth to you. So the benefit to you of my silence is obvious. The benefit to me, you know, the ship still needs redecorating. The deposit paid to you has been earning you interest all this time. I think you owe me, and Lady Cecilia, a very fast, very special redecoration.
But Captain Serrano...
Very fast.
Harris opened her hand, where an egg case lay.
Don't you?
As planned before, or do you have something else in mind?
Harris handed him a data cube. She and Cecilia and the crew had discussed it.
Here are the specifications. Except for one thing.
She dropped the egg case on his desk.
This time, make sure you get all the bugs out.
The Serrano Legacy, Sporting Chance, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2002, Elizabeth Moon. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2008, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Nanette Savard, Colleen Delaney, Sonny Lasky, Lily Beacon, Terrence Aselford, M.B. Van Dorn, Andy Clements, David Coyne, Thomas Penny, Ariane Parker, Ken Jackson, Michael John Casey, Elizabeth Demery, Kate Torrey, Christopher Grayville, Richard Rowan, Karen Carbone, Dylan Lynch, Jeff Baker, Peter Stray, James Konacek, and Mort Shelby. Directed by Nanette Savard. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing by Dan Smith and Johann Detweiler. Graphic audio sound design by Chris Rowan. Additional original music by Chris Rowan. If you enjoyed Serrano Legacy, be sure to look for the Deathstalker series, available at Roadstops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
If you can't find that hot graphic audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.